Thank you, Rev. Hallelujah. It's good to kill a rabbit before you preach, eh? Just catch the attention of people. It was last night, you know, I was with one of my best friends from my country. He was like my older brother, my best friends. He's one of those who led me to the Lord. And we were talking, he started to talk about, you know, what used to happen when we were together in the ministry. And he made me to just start to think about my life, you know, where I come from, where I started from. And one joke he made was, you remember, you know, our church set up the way it was. I look at these two pews here. Oh, my Lord. I look at these two pews behind me. I start to imagine. And Pastor, you always laugh at me when I use the word Sanhedrin, you know. They used to be like elders behind you, those who had gone before you. And I'm talking about the people who know the Bible. They taught me in the Bible school. I mean, these people can articulate, you know, orators when they are speaking. And they always sit behind you when you are preaching. Now, what they used to do was, they would be there, just see how you are doing it, and they will make sure, mark the words you are using, and the way you're pronouncing the words, they are out there listening to you. Now, the funny thing was, the people in the pews out there will not hear what they were saying. You'll be there preaching, you mispronounce a word, and you hear one of them there pass a comment. So whenever I stood on that pulpit, I remember, you know, today you may think, what, I used to like be scared, you know, my knees were just bumping one another because I knew what was going to be coming there. And I remember this day, just like you, now don't laugh at me. Some of us, we don't have H in our vocabulary. Some of us, we don't even have W in our vocabulary. I'm there, I'm preaching, and where I come from, my wife will tell you it's called Luapula. We know how to pronounce English word very, very well. I'm preaching there, and I'm like, oh, you know, when the children of Israel were fighting the war, you know, the way I pronounce that word war, this one was behind me, I heard him say, hey, young man, I've never fought that one before. You understand the joke? I've never fought that one before. And I knew why he said that. I just looked at him. You know, I'm like, okay. I know, sir, you've never fought that one before. The next time he comes, I'm one of the Sanhedrin seated there. He comes, he's like, you know, last night, God woke me up around 4 a.m., you know, before he said something. And I know, I don't know where this came from. I'm just, yeah. So you woke up at 4 a.m. Did we ask you to wake up at 4 a.m.? All we need is the word. Give us the word. And everybody. So he was remembering. As arrogant as it sounded, it's true. You know, when we stand before the pulpit, at times we don't need to tell people. You know, we don't. Why should we tell them, I woke up at 1 a.m. just praying for you? It's your duty as a man of God. You need to wake up. Pray for the people of God. And it's between you and God. Amen. Don't scare them by telling them that you woke up early to pray for them so they better hear the message. That's Julius now talking. Eh? Hallelujah. That was just a rabbit for you. That's not what I'm going to talk about. Thank you, Jesus. Father in heaven, we give you the praise. We give you the glory, Lord. It's all dear unto you. We thank you for you, for who you are, Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, we are here because we are the testimony of your goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, that you can even trust us to stand before your people, the people you died for. People, Lord, you know they are worth dying for. But you've risked and allowed us to stand before them and to preach to them. And Lord, I'm here saying without you, I can do nothing. Father, unless you build the house, the labors tries but in vain. Unless you watch over the city, Lord, you've said the watchman worketh but in vain. This morning I pray for the sake of your people. Lord, may you anoint me. Please, in Jesus' name, touch my lips of prayer today. Anoint my tongue, Lord. As your people hear from my mouth today, may they be able to hear the voice of God beyond my voice. In the name of Jesus, prepare the hearts, Lord, of your people this morning as this word comes out, that it may fall on good ground. My Lord, where it will germinate, grow, and brought forth much fruit, and fruits that will abide forever. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our praise. For the sake of those who are like me, you want to follow the message maybe by getting the title. I'll give a very simple title this morning. The title of the message this morning is just Commandments. Amen. Commandments. When this word, comes and you hear it, what comes in your mind? Commandments. You know, I deliberately chose this today because I've been observing what is going on. In church today, whether you like it or not, we've lost one generation. We've lost it. Where we come from, where we are today, we've just lost a generation. Because we are dealing with a generation that is why. Everything you tell them, they want to know. They will ask you, why are you saying that? It's a generation that doesn't want to obey commandments. They don't know what it means. They take the commandments as a burden. They take the commandments as infringing in their liberty. You are infringing in my rights. You have to understand that I have my own human rights. That's the generation we are dealing with. They want to do whatever to do. Anybody who tries to correct them, they view at them or look at them as legalistics. They are backwards. This is another generation, but we've lost it. You and me, we know what is going on out there. We are hearing things we've never heard when we were growing up. That's what we are hearing. And it's norm to them. It's norm. You ask them, you know what is going on? It's bad. Your own child will ask you, why are you saying that? about if that's what she likes, about if that's what he likes. Why do you want for us to become like you? This is another generation. It happened some time back in the Bible. We are living in the Bible days, to tell you the truth. It happened even among the children of Israel. The same thing happened. Even when God created the world in the early days, we hear about what happened during Noah's time. The flood came. Guess what? What was happening there then? That's what is happening today. But remember, we have a God who at one time said, "It repenteth my heart that I've created man." Imagine to make the maker of the universe, the God who created you in his own image and after his own likeness. The God, when he created you and he looked at you, oh, he said, "This is very good." The God who, you know, it's like when he said, "Let's create them in our image after our own likeness." What it was, it's like, "Let's put ourselves in this man." But that's what you rejected. That's what they rejected. They wanted to go their own way. You remember what happened? They ended up being enslaved. Now I'm talking to parents, and I'm not wishing that this happened to any child, but where are we going? If you talk about slavery and you think that was grave, it's going to be bad out there. I was reading scripture this morning before I came here. I came at a scripture, I'll go to it, but I'll just quote it, where Jesus is talking to the people and he said, "Look, had I not come and spoken to them, had I not come and talked to them, had I not come and revealed myself to them and the goodness of my Father, they are going to have an excuse." That's what he said. They were going to have an excuse. But now I have come, I've taught them the truth. I've pointed the way to them, the way they should go if they want life. It's not like they are in darkness. The truth has been taught to them. But they rejected the truth. Because they thought the truth was a burden to them. That's what is going on today. You know the story of the commandments. They rebelled against him. Moses went up there, you know, talking to the Lord, repenting for their sins, asking God that, "Lord, these people you've asked me to lead, can you help them?" And God is like, "Look, I have tried other ways. I've shown myself to them to be a good God. They cried in the wilderness. I provided for them because I wanted to reveal to them that I'm their provider. Even when they were thirsting, that look what I did. I provided water for them. They cried when they were under captivity in Israel. I came down to save my people. But look what they are doing to me. Maybe I'm going to give them a last chance." I was thinking, let me give them the commandments. Let me give them. If they only follow these commandments, it shall be well with them. But we got people out there who are so rebellious. And I'm like, "Lord, I cannot go out there and talk about the outward commandments. maybe I'm going to pick two which you emphasized the most. You know, Jesus was seated at the table. It's Matthew 22, open there. With the people, and one of them asked Jesus, "Lord, what is the greatest commandment?" And you know, I like the way Jesus used to answer people. He always simplified what he was saying to people. You know what he said? He said, the first one, all you have to do is, you must love God with all your heart, with all your hearts, with all your minds, all your strength. In other words, you must love him with all your being. Simple commandments. Simple commandment. And he said, the second one, I want for you to love one another as you love yourself. In other words, the only way you and me are going to demonstrate that we love God is scripture, is by loving one another. You know, I know what brought me to the Lord. I know the one who preached to me. I know when I was out there what I was lacking. Out there, I never came across, you know, maybe some of you were just born loved. But out there, you know, if I have to come and just start to peruse all my pages of history, you'll be so surprised. I never received love from anybody, maybe apart from my mother. Out there, I fought for everything. I used to do whatever just to find love, to find somebody to love me. Until one person preached to me, you know, the first what they preached, they said, there is somebody who can love you more than any has tried to do it to you. That brought me to him. They told me there is somebody who can love you unconditionally. There is somebody who can love you just the way you are. As rebellious as you are, yes, he can love you. Because when he looks at you, he never thinks negative about you. When he looks at you, he looks at you, and all he says is, I'm looking at something good. Something very, very good. Something created in my image and after my own likeness. But you know, he still gave conditions. If only you accept my love, it's open, it will be yours. And I'm looking at scripture and I'm like, Lord, why? Of all the commandments, you emphasize love. Scripture says it's love that covers a multitude of sin. It's love that can draw you closer to the Lord. My Lord Jesus. It's only love that can make you look like God. It's only love that comes closer to the image of God in your life, to his likeness. It's only love. You're saying you haven't read scripture. I'm going to go to scripture. Let me just say what is coming out of the Spirit. It's only love. My Lord Jesus. You know, John chapter 1. John 1 and chapter 2. Here is John who understood the love of God. We read scripture times out of context. We say, oh, John, the disciple that Jesus loved. Let me tell you the truth. You are not different with John. Call yourself as James, the disciple whom Jesus loves. Because it's a personal thing. It comes from the will. That's where I'm going this morning. He said it himself, and it's in the book which he wrote. John, the disciple whom Jesus loves. It's something, even commandments. I'm like, Lord, this is where the problem is. Because this life we live, the first thing God gave us is the personal will. You have to make decisions. Even when he gave those commandments, that's what it, if you do A, B, C, D, this is going to happen to you. He gave it into your bowl. Decide. Don't wait for another person to decide for you. You are you. He made you, you. You got the free will mind he gave you. So you have to, even today, when he say you love your brother as you love yourself, it's not, you know what? Make your mind to do it or not. It's not a burden. Guys, you know why? Even people who murder others, you know they just make a decision to murder? It's not something like, oh no, if someone comes to you, this is what I don't like. My brother Francis, someone to come to you said, ah, you know, I don't know why I was doing what I was doing. You made your mind to do that. Can we go to 1 John? 1 John chapter 2. You know, I feel good when I'm ministering, and it's like God saying, hey, you're telling everybody, how about that brother? What kind of feelings do you have about that brother? You understand? What kind of feelings when you look at him? What do you think about that brother? What do you think about that sister? Even when you say that, I love that brother, I love that sister. You know, and to be honest with you, the love I'm talking about is not the love you think. The love when you bought that flower, when you were trying to propose to a girl. I was thinking about that. Oh, I love you, take the flower. You know that? And you guys, don't look as if you are only at thou. How many flowers did you give telling them the same thing? You are the only one. There is nobody out there. This is the token of my love to you, this flower. The other day you go there, you see another Susie. Oh, you are the only one I love. The love I'm talking about this afternoon is love that transcends, that goes beyond. The love, you just love somebody not because they are giving you something. You love somebody not because you want something from them. No. That's not the love I'm talking about. I'm talking about the love of God. When he created, he never even demanded anything from you. He gave it all to you. That's the love I'm talking about. The love Jesus, when he comes and says, you know what? I don't want you to love only those who love you. I don't want for you to love only those you know they love you. Because if you do that, that's what the worldly people also do. I want for you to love even your enemies. Because this love transcends. It goes beyond. Oh God, let's go back here. Thank you, Jesus. Who found that? John chapter 2. The Bible reads, this man John understood the love of Christ. Listen, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. I'm writing all these things to you because I don't want for you to sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the proprietor for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. I'll pause a little bit here. Because there is another scripture which says, when you gave your life to the Lord, do you know what Jesus did to you, Pastor Tony? The Bible says he gave you life. I mean, he gave you love. He says, the love that was given to you, I mean, he shed abroad. That's the word I wanted to do. That love, he shed it upon your heart abroad, wide. You understand? It's not concentrated. He said abroad, even by the Holy Spirit that was given to you. And he says, look, what I'm telling you here, it has to be wild. And I'm thinking today, if I step on your toe, forgive me, because I'm talking about me. You know, this love transcends. It's not just, it's not the love where you, when you are going in this city, all the, you love a Kikuyus. Oh, he's my homie, you know. I'll do everything for them. Oh, yeah. The love is talking, it's not the love that I only love, you know, Bembas from Zambia. You know, I look at this world, and that's what we are bringing in church. Maybe in my country, how many directs Christian do we have? We have 72 directs out of 13 million, the whole population. Look how different we are. Everywhere you go, they speak another language. And I'm telling you that everywhere you go, you at least you'll be like, I've never heard about it. What is he trying to communicate? And we talk about tribalism where we come from. Bembas love Bembas. Nyanjas who love Nyanjas. Tumbukas, those are tribes in my country who love Tumbukas. As long as he's a Tumbuka, I'm ready to die for them. I cannot die for a Bemba. You go to the Lost Land, where there they say, we don't like Munyokonyokos. You know what that, we don't like Gentiles. That's what they say. You are in the same country. I go there, I speak my language. Everybody would look at me. What is he want? What does he want here? But unfortunately, that's the spirit that is creeping into the church today. Somebody, you know, told me, he said, you know, I'm like, why don't you go to church? You know what he told me? He said, you know why I don't go to church? Because racism, you talk about racism today, is a lot in the church than outside there. Segregation, yes, it happens in church. Ah, Lord, I'm not going to sit next to that sister. Maybe just because of the color of their skin. Because of the way they, we don't speak the same language. No, 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 no. This love transcends. It was shared abroad. A true Christian's love was shared abroad. upon your heart. It has to be wired. It goes beyond just tribes. It goes beyond, these are my peeps. No, it goes beyond. You understand what I'm saying here? And Pastor, I sat down and I was thinking, I'm like, Lord, at least I have, you know what, little bit of this love. Look the church where I go to. I'm not a Kikuyu, no. I'm not. Ben, I'm not Luo. I'm Bemba by tribe. But you know, because I know the love he has given me transcends, here am I. And he's teaching me to love Kikuyus. And I like it that way. My Lord Jesus. That's what happens. Look, I look at mom there. Ask my mother, I don't go home without talking to her. Because she can be Kikuyu. But you know what? To me, that's an opportunity. Because I know she knows a lot than I know. I go there, sit down, Elizabeth, to tell you, milk that knowledge from her. Pastor, you've seen me. Because I know we are one. In fact, our tribe is not Kikuyu or Luo, Igbo. You know, if you are Nigerian, we are all Christians. That's what the Bible says. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Four, look what he says. Three, he said, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep what? His commandments. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, this is hard, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his commandment, in him, his word, in him verily is the love of who? He says, but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You hear that? Whosoever keeps the commandments of the Lord is in that person where the love of God is perfected. That's the person who has made himself to be a dwelling place for the love himself, God. These are not my words. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You want to know if you walk in true love, he says, it will be revealed to if you keep his commandments. I'm coming to the commandments. You know what I said earlier on? What is the greatest commandment? What did he say? You love God with all your heart, with all your mind, his strength, with all your being. You love him. And then next thing he said, you must love your brother as you love yourself. That's a commandment. I talk about the free will. It's a choice you make. You want the love of God to be perfected in you. The Bible here says, look, obey the commandments of the Lord. And what's the commandment? You need to walk in love. Walk in that love which transcends. My Lord Jesus. The love that covers multitude of sin. Six, he said, he that has He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is, the word which you heard from the beginning. Listen. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which is this, which is truth in him and in you. Because darkness is past, because you are saved. That's what he was saying. And the truth, light, now shineth. Do I have my glasses? Missing words. And he saith, he is the light, and, he said, again, a new commandment I write to you, which is this truth in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth, he that saith he is the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. New commandment, what do you do? Love your brother. I know there is a scripture out again which says, another disciple, he said, who is my brother? Ask yourself, who's your brother? It's not somebody you were born with naturally. No. Your brother is somebody sitting next to you. Your sister is somebody sitting next to you. Amen. Amen. Use that free will God has given you well. Represent Christ in the way he would want for you to represent. Because he says, if you walk in this love, then you must know that you just like me. We are called Christians, you know, because we are Christ-like. I wanted to go and read another John. You can go there, read. In the Gospel of John, you discover chapter 15. I'll go through it. It talks about that Jesus, we are the branches, and he's what? He's the vine. And God is the keeper of this. And he talks about us bearing fruits. And he says, if you do not bear fruits, what would God do? Get you out of the vine. But you go down there, what is he talked about? He's talking about the same commandment. He says, you know what? What I want for you to do, even as I go, for the people out there to know that you are my disciples, what do you do? Love one another. You want for them to know that you are a Christian. Love. Just love your sister. Give them that bear hug like you've never done before. Even when you heard they were talking about you yesterday. Even when you think they look down upon you. Maybe they stepped on your toes. That love he gave you, and he's jealous over it. It's so broad. Don't sit in that corner and cry and say, Lord, I cannot love. Hey, look what he's done. No, no, no. He said, the love I've given you is abroad. It's very broad. I mean, very broad. Wide. You can find a place there to accommodate your sister. To accommodate your brother. My Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Pastor, I'm done. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Reverend, it's your show. Thank
you. Praise the Lord. What a powerful message. That the love that we have received from the Lord is a broad love. It has been shed abroad in our lives. Why don't you lift up your right hand right now? And as you lift up your right hand, I would like you to say something to the Lord. Tell him, Father, let me realize this love. Let me appropriate this love to my brothers and sisters. And is there anybody in your life that you feel you cannot talk to? Feel that they angered you. They crossed your path, and they said some things that were unpleasant to you, and you felt like, this is just too much. The Lord says, just forgive them and love them. This is how men and women are going to know that we are disciples, the disciples of Christ, by loving one another. It is in the city of Antioch where men and women loved one another so much that they were known as Christians. We are going to be known as Christians just because of the love that we have for one another. Love is kind, and as just we heard, love covers a multitude of sins. We are not going to love people because they belong to, they come from our own tribes. We are not going to love them because they come from our own nation. We are not going to love them only because they look like us. But the love that we have received, the Lord, for message, transcends the love that we naturally know. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you shall help us, Father, to see you in the light of your kingdom, to see you in the light of your glory, that you've loved us, that even while we were yet sinners, you loved us. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. When we didn't know who we were, when we were lost in sin, you sent your only begotten Son to die for each one of us. Never died for us because we came from Kenya. Never died for us because we came from America. Never loved a man so much because of how he looked, but you loved everybody equally. Father, help us to love others just as you love, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, may you help us to see other people just as you see us, O God. And we thank you. We bless you. That very powerful message that we had here today. And being in that mood of prayer, you might be in this place, never given your life to Jesus. The love of Christ is available. His grace is available, and he's ready to save right now. Just stretch your hand. We're going to pray together. If you're here, you've never given your life to Jesus, I'd like to give you an opportunity to accept the Lord. Is there anybody who would like to receive the Lord right this morning? Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you so much. Lord, even for the love that you've loved us with. Thank you, Father, because it is unconditional love. And we appreciate your Son's death on the cross. Thank you. You loved us so much that you had to give up your Son on the cross for us. Father, we appreciate you and we give you glory and honor. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Somebody who loves him, shout a big amen.